Good morning at 7:08, and you're listening to Upfront. I'm Janine Etter. We continue our coverage this morning on Upfront of Impeachment Watch. With so much going on in the dramatic saga as the White House turns, we are joined by Mitch Jezerich, host of Pacifica Radio's Letters and Politics, to help us make sense of it all, specifically as it relates to the impeachment inquiry. He joins us from Washington, where he's covering the impeachment inquiry from Congress. Good morning, Mitch.
Morning, Janine Etter. I'm very much looking forward to this conversation, and I just loved that little branding there at the top. Very nice touch.
Thank you. That's all. That's Brian E.T.
That's right. I like it. Do that again.
We'll make sure to hit that right at the end of our interview. Before recapping this week, can you talk about what the atmosphere is like in the Capitol where you're at? What's the energy like there?
It's really intense, Janine. Yeah, it's frenetic. Not at this very moment, right? Yesterday and today, everything came to a complete halt because yesterday we had the lay in state of Elijah Cummings. And so yesterday the House wasn't really in session. There were no hearings occurring down in the secretive skiff room with the depositions. Nothing there was happening. And because Elijah Cummings' funeral in Baltimore is today, there is no congressional session today either. So it's actually at this very moment, Janine, quite calm. But at the beginning of the week, Monday through Wednesday, it was wild. And, you know, I have covered Capitol Hill for a long time, not on a daily basis anymore, mostly from afar, but not right now, obviously. But, you know, in the previous decade, I was covering it every day. And if you would have told me 10 years ago that 40 Republicans would have stormed a highly secretive, sensitive, and impenetrable room in which I was even told, Janine, not even to point my microphone towards while I was down there. If you would have told me that Republicans would have gone in there and disrupted that kind of a hearing, I wouldn't have believed you. And it just sort of shows how things have changed to me since I've done this on a daily basis. I think when I was covering Capitol Hill daily, it was between 2003 and 2006. And I think the window was closing on a period of time that probably began just after World War II, in which the style of politics that was prized, that was considered a good brand of politics, was the style of politics in which you're trying to seek some kind of bipartisanship, that you're trying to seek an art of the deal to be able to, you know, get bills passed and work with the other side. That was, you know, that was a value that was held very high in the politics when I was covering here. But looking back on it, and I actually think it begins to deteriorate really in the 90s with Newt Gingrich, Contract on America, as well as the impeachment of Bill Clinton. I mean, I think all of these, and, you know, future historians will look at all of these things connected. But I do think I was still here when the window was closing of that old style kind of politics that reigned supreme between the end of World War II and really up until, you know, the beginning of the 2000s, maybe really started deteriorating after the economic crisis of 2007 and 2008. But we are certainly in a different political time right now, Janine, in which it's pitched battle warfare and trench political warfare, where the other side, there is no trying to work with the other side anymore. It's really each side's kind of attacking each other with different even investigations. You have the impeachment on one side. You heard Eileen in our headlines talk about the investigation that's coming from the Justice Department and how the investigation concerning the 2016 election even began in the first place. And, you know, I was yesterday hanging out with Frank Bowman. Frank Bowman teaches a seminar at Georgetown Law School about impeachment. And I spent a couple of hours with him, and I brought up this thing, you know, about Nancy Pelosi just basically proclaiming these are now impeachment proceedings. And as we were talking, Thinking about it, you know, he wasn't alarmed by that. You know, the House of Representatives has broad authority to do an impeachment process any way that it wants. It doesn't have to have a vote. But Nancy Pelosi kind of broke tradition, at least from recent to the more recent impeachments of both Nixon and Clinton, by not having a vote at all. And I think we both kind of agreed in talking about this is, you know, it's very likely impeachment after all this will be more of a frequent occurrence on Capitol Hill than it has been before. We've only had four. You know, Nixon wasn't impeached, but there was an impeachment process. Trump hasn't been impeached yet, though he probably will be. But it's you know, it wouldn't be surprising if we see the impeachments occurring more often now over the next, say, 20 to 30 years.
And you were speaking with Congressman Eric Swalwell earlier this week, where he said this impeachment process was different than Watergate and the Clinton impeachment process, that there's no special prosecutor who would have done the work of interviewing, talking to witnesses and conducting an investigation and then presenting that to Congress. Can you talk about why this approach, a little bit more about why this approach is being taken?
Yeah, you're really touching upon an important issue here and sort of what's at the heart of the controversy over the process. Republicans are saying, because so far these are depositions like William Taylor and Laura Cooper are coming in to give their testimony. It's behind closed doors in a highly secretive room known as the SCIF. And the Republicans are making great complaints about how this whole process occurring, because they, you know, they're saying this should be out in the open, that only the Republicans who are part of the committees taking the testimony have the ability to hear what's happening in the closed room. Now, we're talking three committees that are participating in this process with over 100 members. So it's almost a quarter of Congress, at least in the House of Representatives, members of the House who are participating in this process. But to the point you're saying, Janine, what the Democrats are saying and what Eric Swalwell told me was that they don't have a special prosecutor right now to investigate this whole situation with you. So the House of Representatives is taking on this process. It's not precedented to do this. This was the very same process, actually, that Republicans took in investigating Benghazi, what happened in Benghazi back in 2012, and they formed a select committee, but they also had private depositions that are Republicans will say, yeah, but that wasn't an impeachment process. This is an impeachment inquiry, and this should be open. That's different. Democrats disagree. And so that's basically what they're saying. These depositions need to be held behind closed doors and not open to the public, because you never have depositions out in the open. You have deposition, and the reason why, one of the reasons why, is because you don't want other witnesses hearing what has already been said. You don't want to present the possibility that witnesses who come in to testify are able to conform their stories together by knowing what other witnesses had already testified. So that's the process that's going on. What's going to occur when this whole process is over is that we will get some kind of information about what happened in the depositions. And it's not entirely clear what that's going to look like. Will we get the entire transcripts? Eric Swalwell suggested to me we'll get the transcripts, and then, but, you know, they'll be redacted, though, for classified information. So we probably won't get an unredacted version of these transcripts. And then what about hearings from these committees themselves? Are we going to see William Taylor, who has probably presented the most damning testimony so far? Is he going to come back to an open hearing that we can observe? What we do know is once this process is over, then it will all be referred to the House Judiciary Committee, which is not participating in these depositions. The House Judiciary Committee will then take up the articles of impeachment, work on those, and that will probably be a much more open process.
And can you talk more about William Taylor's testimony and why it's so damning, the top U.S. diplomat in Ukraine?
Yeah, so William Taylor was leading the Ukrainian embassy. And I say leading the Ukrainian embassy because he wasn't actually the ambassador, because he was replacing Marie Yananovich, who was the ambassador to Ukraine. But Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani probably had her called from Ukraine because she had a very contentious relationship with the prosecutor in Ukraine that Giuliani wanted to investigate both the Bidens and this theory that it was actually Ukraine who was being the thefts of the 2016 Democratic emails. And so Trump had Marie Yananovich recalled, replaced by William Taylor, who Mike Pompeo had to convince to do it. William Taylor said he had a high regard for Marie Yananovich, that most people in the diplomatic corps had a high regard for Marie Yananovich, and that they were all very concerned about what was happening, a possible political influence. But William Taylor went because he thought someone needed to lead the embassy. So he went to the embassy, and he was one of three people that were a part of the text messages that were released a couple of weeks ago with Kurt Volker and also with Gordon Sondland, trying to arrange a meeting between Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and Donald Trump. And in these text messages, it is William Taylor who raises the arm that this is crazy. You mean we're going to withhold $391 million in military aid if Zelensky does not announce that he will investigate the Bidens in particular? And so he's the one who raised the alarm. And another, you know, the other said, William Taylor, you clearly are misunderstanding the intention of the president. Let's stop text messaging now. So what William Taylor did in his testimony this week, Janine, is he talked about what happened in the actual conversations that he had. We had the text messages before, and then he testified how the conversations went. And he said it was very much a quid pro quo that, in, you know, not only for Ukraine to get the $391 million in military aid, not only to have a face-to-face meeting with President Donald Trump, but that the entire relationship between the United States and Ukraine was on the line if Ukraine these investigations that Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump wanted. And that's really significant, Janine, because as you know, Ukraine has been since 2014 really kind of involved in a low level next crime took over after the ousting of the previous president, 2014, Viktor Yanukovych. And so, you know, say that our entire relationship with you is on the line if you don't do these investigations that may hurt Donald Trump's political opponents is really remarkable. The last thing I would say about that, this is William Taylor's testimony. And that's one of the things the Republicans are saying. They're trying to paint William Taylor as a never Trumper, right? That he would never support Trump, and he's part of the diplomatic corps that wants Trump out. So that's, you know, that's how Republicans have responded so far to that testimony.
Well, thank you, Mitch Jezerich, host of Letters in Politics.
Janine, thank you.
Yes. Host of Letters in Politics, joining us from Washington, where he's covering the impeachment inquiry from Congress. And so now we, by special request, will go to the impeachment music for Mitch Jezerich.